It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And I wanted to start off today by just sort of explaining a little bit about the kinds of things that I do. So one of the things that I do is I try to identify to the species level the plants in my yard and then keep track of them. And one of the plants in my yard I have been calling the woodland sunflower, simply because I didn't take the time to identify it down to species. I simply said, this is a sunflower. It's pretty obvious that it's a sunflower, and it's growing in my yard. Well, yesterday I decided enough is enough. This woodland sunflower, this mystery flower, needs a name. And so I got out my copy of Minnesota Wildflowers, and I walked out to the patch, and I brought my little chair along, and I sat down, and I worked my way through it. And what gave it away, what finally settled what plant I was looking at, first thing I looked at, the leaves were opposite, down at the base of the stem. And as I came up the stem and got closer and closer to the top, they became less opposite, more alternate. So in Minnesota Wildflowers, it says, leaves are 8 inches, up to 8 inches long, 2.5 inches wide, coarsely toothed, pointed at the tip, tapering to the base, on a stalk of up to 1.5 inches long. The texture is rough. Leaves are mostly oppositely attached, but are alternate in the upper part of the plant. Ta-da! So that gave me one clue. And then I looked at the bracts, which form underneath the flower head, and it says there are a few layers of bracts behind the flower. Bracts are narrow, sharply pointed, and spreading with fine hairs around the edges, especially near the base of the bract. So I got out my hand lens, and sure enough, they were narrow and sharply pointed. I could see that all right, but with my hand lens, I could make out the hairs. It goes on in the notes about this plant to say that that sunflowers are notoriously promiscuous, and they hybridize readily with other sunflowers, and so that you may have a hybrid of sunflowers. But as it stands now, I'm going with sawtooth sunflower for the sunflower at my house. And the sawtooth sunflowers are right now, as I interpret it, at their peak of bloom. So get out and check out the sunflower in your yard and see if maybe there's some identifying feature there that you can follow to find out just who exactly it is that you're looking at. And speaking of that, there is the eastern lined aster, Aster lanceolatus, that has begun to bloom. It started blooming about last Tuesday or Wednesday. And it has a large, in my case, blue flower, but they can be white. The thing that gives this aster away, if you're really curious about asters, is get up close and look at the stem, and the lined aster has hairs growing in lines near the ends of the branches. So just below the flowers, look at the stem of the plant, and you will see these lines of hairs. And that will help you to determine that it is aster lanceolatus, eastern lined aster. Some other plants, Joe Pieweed, probably at its peak of bloom. I'm seeing it everywhere. It's kind of purplish looking. Or pink maybe. And it has a very fuzzy looking flower. When the flower is fully opened, the whole thing looks a bit woolly. And that is quite in line with the name that they give it, Eupatorium. And Eupatorium refers to wool-like. And so the Eupatorium is the descriptor given to the flower. The other flower that's blooming right now that looks a lot like that is Boneset. And Boneset is also a Eupatorium. It also has a wool-like flower, though its flower is white, and they are probably at their peak of bloom right now as well. There are lots and lots of blackberries out there right now, and you could be out picking blackberries if you weren't sitting there listening to the radio. What can I say? It's a beautiful morning. Get up, get out, turn off the radio, and go outside and pick blackberries. There's still some raspberries out there, too, so you can get a lot. And I've still got a few blueberries, so there's still some berries out there to be found and eaten. My neighbor Marvin had made choke cherry jelly and gave me some yesterday. And his claim was that he thought that choke cherry jelly was the best jelly you could make with the wild fruits in this area. And jellies, let's see now, I've got, is it jellies or jams? One is just the juice of the plant, of the berry, and the other includes the berry. And I guess what he had was jelly, which is just the juice. And he described the process of running it through his colander, boiling them, running them through the colander, separating the juice from the seeds and the skins. And the taste was excellent. And I'm not sure if that chalky, acrid kind of drying effect that choke cherries have on your mouth when you just eat the whole berry, if that comes from the skin or not. But it seems as though if you separate the skin from the juice, you get a really flavorful juice, and the jelly was excellent. And if I've got that backwards, if it's jam and not jelly, well, let me know. I'd be ever so grateful to have it right. I talked to Harry Hutchins this past week, and he and Sue had seen a male hummingbird on Sunday. I have not seen one since the 14th, I think, was the last. That was last Friday. That was the last day that I saw a male hummingbird at my feeder. And in the last couple of days, I've been looking very carefully and have not seen any male hummingbirds at my feeder. Speaking of hummingbird feeders, it's a battle out there, and every hummingbird is just buzzing the feeders. We've got four feeders out, and they're draining them every day, and we're filling them back up. We are now mixing our sugar water at 3-1, so three cups of water, one cup of sugar. That's 25% stronger than we've been making it. But the birds need all the extra energy they can get. They need to store up their fats for the trip south, because ultimately they're going to get to the coast of Louisiana and they're going to make a 600-mile flight across the Gulf of Mexico. And there's, check your maps, no islands between Louisiana and the Yucatan Peninsula. There's no place for them to stop and rest. It's do or die. And they are going to need every ounce of fat that they can carry with them, every gram of fat, I should say. An ounce might be the total weight of the fat that they have. But at any rate, they're going to need every bit of energy they can sequester to make that flight. So it doesn't hurt to up the ante a little bit this time of year, raise the concentration a little bit. The hummingbirds won't mind a bit. They'll be happy to pack it in. I saw a male rose-breasted grosbeak this past week. It was a juvenile, and I suspect since I only saw it once, it just passing through, I think that it probably was on its way south and just one of the last of its breed that is in the area. But you may still have a few around. Keep an eye out. They're going to be disappearing very, very soon. The blue jays that are coming to my bird feeder right now are a pretty comical bunch. I have a family group of about seven blue jays that show up. Four or five of them look pretty normal and pretty good. And those are the juveniles. Those are the young ones. And they look good because they've already grown in their feathers. But their parents at this point are molting their head feathers. And so I've got these blue jays that show up with just their skulls, sort of. There's a bit of fuzz on there, but basically that big, lovely, bluish-gray cockade that they carry on top of their heads is gone. So check out the blue jays coming to your feeders. They're going to be pretty humorous. Downy rattlesnake plantain, Goodyera pubescens is an orchid. It is in bloom right now. It's probably at its peak of bloom. The real beauty of this thing is the spike of flowers is lovely. It's about 10 inches high. It has maybe 30 or 40 flowers on it. The flowers are tiny, probably less than a quarter of an inch across, and they are pretty involved, and you almost need a hand lens to get right in there and get a good look at them. But it's worth the effort. They are lovely. And look down. When you find that stalk of flowers, look down, because the true beauty of the plantains are their leaves. And in this case, the downy rattlesnake plantain has some of the most beautiful leaves you're ever going to see. They're dark, dark green, and they are lined with white lines that seem to follow the vein patterns within the leaf. And they are just gorgeous. You want to check those out. I'm starting to see some flecking. That is coloring coming on to some of the trees. The ones I noticed this past week are box elder and red maple. And there are a couple of other trees that are starting to change color. Among the plants that are starting to change color, there are the first red leaves are starting to show up on some of the sumac. And the spreading dogbane, that little shrub with the bright green leaves and the red stems, got little white flowers on it, bell-shaped white flowers, maybe a half an inch long, and they're lined with pink streaks. And that spreading dogbane is turning yellow, and it is one of the first plants to turn yellow in the fall. So you're going to want to get out and watch that one. It's pretty easy to spot right now with those bright yellow leaves. Flat-topped aster is doing really well. It's probably at its peak of bloom. The basswoods are obviously done flowering. They're setting their fruit right now. And the samaras, the wings that are going to help those fruits spiral to the ground away from mom, are starting to turn a light khaki brown. And so if you're looking at a basswood today, big, big, dark green leaves. But if you see in amongst those leaves lots of these pale yellow or pale tan samaras, those are the seeds of the basswoods. I took the liberty, and I've seen a number of notes on the Facebook page to this effect, that the deer flies appear to be in decline. Now, I made a note on Sunday or Saturday. There are still a few around, but their numbers are significantly reduced. And then I went on to say, I paid for this thought later in the day. While sailing, one bit me on the foot. So they may be in decline, but they haven't completely given up. And there's a small wound on the top of my left foot to remind me that I should be ever so grateful that they're not here throughout the entire year. Northern flickers are the predominant bird that I'm seeing on my driveway right now. And for some of you, you may have noticed that there aren't very many robins around right now. And the reason for that is that this time of year, the local robins gather into flocks and they start buzzing around and they're eating choke cherries. My friend, my neighbor Marvin, said that there was a flock of about 25 that came into his choke cherry one day and just sat there all day and ate every choke cherry on the plant. So the robins are moving about in flocks. And after I had kind of come to the realization that I hadn't been seeing a lot of robins, I saw a flock of robins. So they're out there. They're just gathered up in big flocks. And you may not see any robins, or you may see lots of robins all at once. So check that out. Indian pipe is still blooming out in the forest. And what else? Oh, the mountain maple. I don't know if you know this plant. It's a shrub, and it has a sort of a maple-like leaf. And sometimes the stems are red above and kind of tan or brown below. And the seeds right now are just starting to turn color, and they're going to get really spectacularly red. The samara on the seeds are going to get spectacularly red over the next couple of weeks. So if you have some mountain maple around, you might want to start watching them to see how they're doing. Northern heart-leaved aster began to bloom this past week, and this is a big blue aster with lots and lots of flowers on it. And if you look down, if you get down into the leaves, you'll see that the leaf comes off on a fairly long petiole, a fairly long stem, and that stem is winged. It has a little growth on the edges, sort of like the leaf were starting but hadn't really got going. And then when you get out to the leaf, it has that typical heart shape. Think of a valentine and its heart shape, and that's sort of the northern heart-leafed aster. Another flower that's blooming right now that's pretty easy to identify is gray goldenrod, and we talk about this one every year. Look for a flower structure that looks a bit like your index finger, slightly bent. So the flower, it's going to be a larger structure than that. It's going to be about 8 or 10 inches. Well, it might be 6 to 8 inches long. It might be closer. And it's going to be an inch and a half or so around or thick in diameter. And so it's this column of bright yellow flowers. It looks a bit like a slightly bent finger, and it's up at the top of the plant, and it makes gray goldenrod pretty easy to identify. Fireweed has gone to seed, and from John Zazada from many years ago told me in Alaska, when you see the fireweed in seed, it means that the first snows are only 6 weeks away. And if you take 6 weeks and add it on to where we are today, that'll be like the 1st of October. And you may actually experience some snow around the 1st of October. So we'll see how close that we come this year. Fireweed gone to seed. And I told you that the robins have gone. Clouded sulfur butterflies, there were a bunch of them here a couple weeks ago, and now they're gone. Monarch butterflies, I saw two yesterday, but they're sort of decreasing in numbers. And I mentioned about the black bear. Heidi talked about black bears and the need to keep your feed away from them. Don't lure them into your yard. Because oftentimes when you do, then you think, oh, I'm under threat from a bear. And so then you have to shoot the bear as a nuisance bear. And the bear is only coming because the food is out there. If you take the food away, the bear won't bother you. And the bear won't even bother you if you have food there. To be truthful, all the black bears I've encountered have mostly run off when I come outside. So I would be kind to the bears and try not to attract them to your yard. If you bring them in the yard, then you got to deal with them, and it's easier not to bring them in the yard. Final note, I was out sailing the other day, and right in front of Heidi's house, there was an osprey, and the osprey was being tagged by a juvenile bald eagle. So the osprey is kind of complaining. You can hear it making some noise, and the juvenile bald eagle is just following it around like, hey, catch a fish so I can steal it from you. The life of the osprey. That's our Phenology show for today. Thanks for tuning in. As always, if you have comments, questions, or observations you want to share, I'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with me.